Hello and welcome to Focus on Israel and the Palestinian Territories. My name is Paul Calvert. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 8 from the New King James Version says this: "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle?" I'm with Steve Lindy from the Jerusalem Report. Now, Steve, what is the Jerusalem Report?
The Jerusalem Report is what we like to think of as a prestigious magazine that comes out here in Jerusalem, but we send it all over the world. We have something like 65,000 subscribers around the world. You can buy it here in Israel in Stamatsky stores. It was started originally in 1990 by another former South African, I hail from South Africa, named Hirsch Goodman, and has gone through all kinds of processes until it was sold by Hirsch to the Jerusalem Post group, which has owned it for the last decade.
Why was it started? Was there a need for a magazine like this?
I think, and I just saw Hirsch the other day walking along the Tel Aviv beachfront with his wife, I think that they felt if they got a few big donors together, including Charles Bronfman and a few others, that it would have a real appeal not just to Jews and Christians and Muslims around the world, but to those who are interested in knowing about what's going on in Israel / Palestine, the Middle East, and the Jewish world. And I think that those were the three primary focuses of the magazine. It says on the cover, covering Israel, the Middle East, and the Jewish world. And it comes out every 2 weeks, fortnightly. And every time I try to find a way to bring something new to the reader that's featurey and attractive. So we cover everything from the arts and music to the political and security situation, and obviously the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the other conflicts in the Middle East. So we have some very good writers covering all these different areas, and each time I try and focus on one theme or one area. The latest issue, for example, focuses on how three different photographers have written about capturing Jerusalem via the photographic lens. The first, a guy named Eitan Simonor, is focused on the Old City. Another on an exhibition in the Old City, which is all about the Temple Mount, we call it here, but it's called, the exhibition's called The Mount, focusing on Al-Aqsa and the Dome of the Rock, and how photographers have captured that, the images of it throughout its history. And finally, a photographer on the City of David, which has found all these amazing archaeological finds dating back thousands of years.
Is the Jerusalem Report a way of understanding more about Jewish life and the life here in Israel?
I think that's my aim. Unlike a newspaper, which just gives you the immediate news on the ground, we're trying to go a little bit deeper into what's happening for the more intelligent reader who wants to sit down and ponder a certain subject. Again, I'm not saying that we're targeting the intellectual elite or anything, but we try to give more depth and more context to the coverage of Israel. And I try not to take any political sides. So I run the gamut from left to right. And I think increasingly our readers are also more and more Christians are reading the Jerusalem Report. The Jerusalem Post once had a Christian edition, which was closed, and we encouraged subscribers to move over to the Jerusalem Report. And I've noticed that readers' letters and responses that I get are from many Christians around the world. And so I'm also focusing the magazine a lot on the Christian world, which I think is fascinating as well for Christian readers.
Now, you always hear a lot of negativity when it comes to the news. Are there positive stories about Israel?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's my whole approach has been right from the beginning when I was editor of the Jerusalem Post, is to stress the positive. And actually, the cover story has all kinds of inspirational quotes, and I was just corresponding with the writer, and I was saying to him that life is like a camera. This one quote: you focus on what's important, capture the good times, develop from the negative, and if things don't work out, you take another shot. And that's sort of my philosophy with the report, is that I try and focus on all the positive things that are happening in Israel. You can't completely ignore the negative, I've always believed that you should try and, you know, not cover anything up. But my focus definitely is on all the wonderful things happening in the Holy Land, from high tech to agriculture and medicine and solar power and water desalination and all kinds of incredible things that Israel is leading the world in that don't often get to the mainstream media, because the mainstream media often tend to report only the conflict and the negative side of the violence that happens on the Gaza border, etc. And we do that too. We have a very good security analyst named Yossi Melman, a very good diplomatic reporter named Mark Weiss. And they certainly are free to report the stories as they see them, but we try to be as balanced as possible. And again, I always try and put something upbeat, if I can, on the cover.
What's the best story that you've ever covered?
That's a good question. I think that personally, the best interview I ever did was with an Israeli Nobel Prize winner named Robert or Israel Aumann, who's already in his late 80s, and he got the Nobel Prize for game theory. And I went with the photographer Mark Selim to his, he still goes to work every day at the Hebrew University campus in Givat Ram. And we sat for a couple of hours talking, and he basically unraveled his whole philosophy of game theory and how it applied to the political world today. And for me, it was the most fascinating interview I've done for the report. Unfortunately, in that very same issue, we ran on the back page a cartoon that got me and the Jerusalem Report into trouble by a cartoonist named Avi Katz. And what he had done is he'd taken a picture of Likud MKs, including Prime Minister Netanyahu, taking a selfie of themselves after passing a very controversial legislation here in Israel called the Nation State Bill, which now law, which essentially legislates the existence of Israel as a Jewish state for the Jewish people. And this upset many people, including the Druze minority, the Arab minorities in Israel. And what the cartoonist did was he gave each of them faces of pigs. And I used that famous George Orwell quote that all animals are born equal, but some are more equal than others. To cut a very long story short, it caused a sensation and it upset many people. And I was ordered to fire Avi Katz by my management, which I did with a heavy heart. And probably that represents, in one issue, the high point and low point of my career. Because here was this incredible interview that I'd done that I'd put on the cover, which no one even noticed. And here was this cartoon that I put on the back page, which caused me and the magazine personal harm, even though it gave us a lot of publicity, and some people believe that all publicity is good publicity.
Now, you were the editor of the Jerusalem Post, a newspaper. Is there less pressure publishing a fortnightly, weekly than a daily newspaper?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one thing about being the editor of a daily newspaper is you have to be on top of the news 24/7. As you know, all the time you have to be following the news. Even in the middle of the night, anything can happen in this country, and often does. Whereas when you're putting out a magazine that comes out every 2 weeks, you do get a little bit of stress when the deadline approaches every two Mondays. But mostly you can be creative and take your time and breathe more easily. If they're breaking stories, it becomes slightly problematic. For example, we're talking just before Prime Minister Netanyahu is approaching his deadline to present his government. And I'm guessing that he's not going to present it in time for my next magazine, which is we have to send to print on the 27th of May. And his deadline is the 29th of May. So as always in this country, probably he will leave it till the last minute. And then I have the quandary of how do I report that in a magazine that comes out. For example, the one we did on the elections, we had to printed the day before the election, so you didn't know the result.
Yeah.
So I had to be very careful how that is presented, so the people that received the magazine 2 weeks later in New York City go, well, let's see what happened in Israel, and they don't see the election results. So I try to do it in a way that whoever won, we gave an analysis of what this election meant, whichever Benjamin won, Benjamin Netanyahu or Benjamin Gantz. So it's a challenge. I love the job. I think, unfortunately, that print journalism all over the world, not just in Israel, is dying slowly, and the next generation doesn't really want to pay for magazines or newspapers, whether it be in print itself or online. And so we don't really know how many years or months we have left. So my philosophy is, enjoy every day and live life one day at a time and one issue at a time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is it difficult today being a paper magazine in a digital world?
It is. I mean, all our stories are posted to the Jerusalem Post website with the logo of the Jerusalem Report. And so people can read our stories online. In the beginning, it's behind a paywall and under premium section, so you have to pay if you want to read it. But after a few weeks, it's taken out of premium and becomes readily available. Most of the cover stories are available to read, but obviously we're encouraging people to buy the actual magazine. It's a nice size to read, at home, on a plane, while you're traveling, on a bus. I personally find it very easy to read. For religious Jews, it's something they can do on Shabbat. For Christians, I hope that I don't offend anyone in any way, but you could even take it to church with you. I mean, it's not like, if you look at the latest issue, it's all about Jerusalem, a story on the Israel festival, an assessment of the recent escalation in Gaza by someone who was actually there, and also from an Israeli security point of view. A student who's taking a course here went to the Arab village of Jisr al-Azarqa, and so we have a piece on that, a piece on celebrity chefs visiting Israel, Britain's ban on Hezbollah. We always have a column on the people of Israel and interesting people who live here, a culture report on the Israel festival that's taking place this month. We always have an economic report by Shlomo Meital, this time on rebuilding Israel's public civil service. A commentary by a former South African hero of mine named Sean Thompson on surfing. And then we always have a book section at the end and people in the book. In this case, it's the New York Times and the Jews, and that recent cartoon they did. Was that anti-Semitic or not? And a professor from Ariel University tries to answer that question. And then I always write a letter to the readers. We have an opening shot by our photographer, a wrap-up of the news in the last 14 days, so that if anyone wants just a condensed idea of what's happened in Israel in the last 14 days, that sort of sums it up. And as I say, the three photographic essays on Jerusalem. So I try to provide a more rounded view and not just, Israel through rose-colored spectacles, but different views of Israel and what's happening here. Again, not necessarily for Jews and Christians, for Muslims as well. And also, you don't have to be a believer, but we have rabbis and different spiritual leaders writing for us. And I encourage anyone who wants to write, every time I speak to a group or people visiting Israel, I say, and if anyone would like to write something, and people often do, from pastors to imams, and I think that if nothing else, I think it's a good read. So I encourage if anyone who hasn't read it to pick up a copy or to look on social media, and they'll find different articles that hopefully they'll find interesting.
Have you always been interested in journalism?
Yeah, I mean, growing up in South Africa, I went, obviously, in apartheid South Africa, I went to journalism school at a place called Rhodes. And then when I came to Israel, I worked as a broadcaster like yourself for Israel Radio in English. Once Israel Radio broadcast in about a dozen languages. Today, that too has been cut. But I always knew I wanted to be a journalist. I'm a bit of a news addict, a news junkie. But if you ask me, and when young people come to me today, would I encourage the younger generation to take up journalism? I say that there'll always be a place for good writers, good broadcasters, good speakers, but I'm not sure how we're going to morph in the future into what? How will journalism look in the future? I'm not really sure. I mean, for me, the social media, or as my friend Mark Levy calls it, the anti-social media, isn't journalism. Tweeting something or putting it on Facebook, that's not journalism. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily a source. Like when a friend said to me today, did you see blah, blah, blah? I said, where did you see that? And she said, on Twitter. And I said, I'm sorry, but Twitter is not a source. Who tweeted that? And how do we know we can believe that? And for me, a responsible journalism is about, providing accurate, solid sources and context. And that's something I hope we do at the Jerusalem Report. I think that most of the social media that people engage in, including myself, you don't always know that what you're reading is true. I mean, very often you read that someone died and then find out afterwards that they didn't. And that always proves to me over and over again that you have to check your sources and you have to check your facts. Otherwise, you could be spreading, as Donald Trump says, fake news. And I don't like Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu bashing the media all the time. I think that it's offensive. I think the media and the press are supposed to be a bastion of democracy. And we would expect our leaders, the leaders of the democratic world, to back us rather than bash us.
Why did you come from South Africa to Israel?
Well, I've always wanted to. I fell in love with Israel when I was a young boy visiting with my mother and sister. And I always wanted to live here. I guess I'm an old-style Zionist, even though that's a bit of a dirty word today. But I really believe that Israel is a wonderful country and has a lot to offer the world. Obviously, the Palestinian conflict needs to be resolved. And I personally support a two-state solution. But I always try to follow the advice given to me by President Peres when I first met him as editor of the Jerusalem Post. He said, it's your job to tell people what to think about and not what to think. Mm-hmm. I think those were very wise words. And so I tried to give my readers different sides of the story and let them come up with their own conclusion rather than bashing them over the head with, this is what you should be thinking. So I don't know if we succeed, but, ultimately it's up to the reader or the listener, in this case, to decide whether we're doing a good job or not. But I really believe that journalism plays a pivotal, really important role in our society, and I'll do everything I can to maintain the quality of the journalism that we do and expect others like you to do, and I know that you do, a very good job. So I think that especially radio is very close to my heart, but I think that ultimately the printed word is, unfortunately, there'll be books and there'll be the Bible, but I'm not sure that people will buy newspapers at their local stand or have them delivered in the next 10 years. Again, maybe I'm being pessimistic here, but I think that, at some point we'll all be reading newspapers and listening to radios on a little contraption, who knows, probably our cell phone. But you never know. I mean, when I read Orwell, speaking of Orwell, or one of those science fiction writers like Asimov, I mean, they never thought of the computer even. You don't see any reference to a computer in there. I mean, they might have been prophetic in some ways, but the computer, which has changed our lives, doesn't appear in many of those science fiction books. So who knows what will be in the future, but I suspect that we'll be reading our journalism or listening to it on some, device that the future will come up with.
What's your prayer, finally, for the future of the magazine?
Well, my prayer for the region in general is obviously that we have peace and that both peoples, the Israelis and the Palestinians, prosper. I just hope that the magazine can last another year at least, so that we can celebrate our 30th anniversary, and I'd like to be around for that. Please God, it'll go on for even longer. Unfortunately, these days, unless you're owned by a very wealthy person who's prepared to invest money, the Sheldon Adelson model of Israel Hayom, which is the biggest newspaper today in Israel, which is handed out for free. Unless you have someone very wealthy investing in your product, the future is very tenuous. And so even if the readers love it, I just don't think that in 10 or 20 years' time there'll be an audience for a daily newspaper or a fortnightly magazine. I would love to be proven wrong. Don't get. But even in England, where you come from, I can see that newspapers are slowly dying, and it hurts. But that's the reality of the situation.
Okay, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you'd like to know more about our show, you can join us on Facebook. Just look for Focus on Israel Radio. Ezekiel 37 verse 4 to 6 says this. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinners on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, and the Jews will receive the real shalom peace.